Cue the fancy intro music. This is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom gives you the tips, tools, and resources you need to define and achieve success on your own terms, so you can make great money doing what you love and have the time and freedom to enjoy it. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Lisa Robin Young. Let's get started. In my annual review of 2015, I sort of celebrated the fact that I only made $3,000 that year. Yes, you heard me correctly. This was the year before my divorce, and I sort of planned things to turn out this way. So don't feel bad for me or even be shocked. I didn't want to have a lot of income that year, and I very much didn't. But once I moved out, things changed. I needed more income to qualify for housing, a car, and to make sure that my credit rating could stand on its own. I mean, like it or not, our society puts a lot of sway and power in those things. So I needed to see a pretty big jump in my 2016 income to be able to live in Nashville. And don't get me started on how much things have changed since then. Anyways, a new incubator client of mine had a similar situation last year, and that kind of spawned today's episode. Because they were investing quite a lot of money into the growth of their business, they had chosen to pay themselves a small fraction of their typical annual income, barely five figures for the year. This year, though, as they've joined me in the incubator, they've recognized that it's time to recoup that investment and have their business paying them a wage that matches their lifestyle needs. Now, there comes a time, or maybe even multiple times, in your business when you're done with the income that you're currently making and it's time for more. And most of the time you don't want to be doing more to get there. That's when you need to strategically consider how to increase your profits, your profitability, the money that stays inside the business so that you can achieve the freedom goals that you have. But that profitability begets sustainability because that means you can pay yourself more. You can hire a team or pay your team more and still have money in the business for growth of the business so that the business can continue to grow. And there are lots of potential ways to do that. But today I'm focusing on three things that I think most directly impact your overall profitability and help you to experience true creative freedom. And we'll talk about what true profitability looks like as we go along here. This is the spot in the podcast where I tell you to pause everything and get your copy of this week's free downloadable from the website. It's creativefreedomshow.com. Click the Rising Tide link, log in or register if you haven't already because it's free, and pull up season 6, episode 15. The PDF is already there waiting for you. My dad liked to fish. And he tried taking me out a couple of times, but I was not a natural like my brother was. I didn't understand using different kinds of bait to attract different kinds of fish. And lest you think I'm devolving into a comparison of how customers are like fish in a barrel, I'm talking about a different kind of problem here. While I'm not a fisher person, my dad said something to me once that has stuck with me all these years later. He said, and this is my horrible, horrible impression of my father,
"What, kid? You can fish all day in the Great Lakes and you'll never catch a tuna. You can fish all day in the sea and never catch a carp. You need to be in the right place to catch the right kind of fish."
Okay, bad impression aside, maybe I am equating people with fish a little bit here, but it's for a completely different reason. So just cut me some slack and stick with me here. The point is that when it comes to lead generation for your business, that's the first piece of the puzzle here, you can be in a sea filled with all kinds of people and none of them are the right fit for you. You can be using the perfect bait, so to speak, but if you're fishing in the wrong lake, you will never catch what you're looking for. One of our strategic decisions at Creative Freedom HQ this year was to put more focus on LinkedIn instead of Facebook. The audience that I want to attract is actually in both locations. So I guess they're more like rainbow trout, which can survive in fresh or salt water, but I digress. We're choosing to focus on LinkedIn because it's easier to find these folks and talk to them there because it's less noisy there than it is on Facebook. On Facebook, there are a lot more voices and off-topic voices at that are vying for their attention. LinkedIn is more focused. So to continue this terrible fishing analogy, it's like fishing in a saltwater cove instead of dropping a line in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We wouldn't have known that if we didn't pay attention to our audience. So when you are increasing your lead generation, it's not just about quantity, it's also about quality. What are you currently doing to attract people to your website, your offers, your services? How is that working for you? Remember, we talk about plan to evaluate all day long. Assess the data that you've got to develop more strategic ways to attract the right people to your website. Are you going to the right places? Are you saying the right things? Are you showing up in the right ways? And I talk about this all the time. Build relationships with your audience. Engage in conversations. Create situations for yourself, whether it's webinars or workshops or Instagram lives or whatever, that would help your audience further connect with you. Or simply send them a message or leave them a comment on something that they've posted. This gives you exclusive insight into how to better serve the people that are actually already in your audience that will get them to your website and eventually to say yes to your offers. Research how they are finding you. Is it SEO, Google search keywords, YouTube keywords, hashtags, recommendations, referrals, Yelp, or something else? Tin can on a string. Pay attention and keep track. I wouldn't have considered LinkedIn for a split second if I hadn't gotten data that showed me that might be a better option to attract the right people into the Star Power audience. Part of lead generation is the what that you're leading them to. Are you creating content yet? I'm sure you are. But sometimes we get so caught up in client work or working on our own products or other non-money-making tasks that we forget that content creation is one of the biggest lead generators out there for entrepreneurs. Now, give people the content that they're searching for and create value with your content so that they get to know, like, and trust your expertise in your niche. I am a big fan of content creation because it has a long half-life. I have posts from 2007 that still bring new people into my audience. I don't have to do that work again. It's still out there banging the drum for me. I was featured in a book a few years ago, and people still read that book and then find me. They reach out and say, hey, I just read about you in Mike's book, Profit First, so I thought I'd look you up. I've had multiple clients show up that way. Now, I can't promise you're going to be featured in somebody's book. But I can promise you that the only reason I was featured in that book in the first place was that I was showing up, creating content, and had a body of work and a story that Mike liked enough to put in his book. If you're not making content, you're missing these opportunities. And content creation does not have to be hard. It doesn't have to take up all your time. It doesn't have to be all-consuming or epic in nature. It all adds up over time, little trickles. But if you're not doing it, don't be surprised if no one knows who you are. We've got a bunch of episodes this season about content creation and how to do it without a lot of stress or hustle. So go back and check those out and start building that content stockpile, because that's going to be doing the work for you while you're off doing the stuff that you love. The second way we increase profits is to raise your rates. And that may seem really obvious, but it's true. This is the fastest and usually the easiest way to grow your profits, as Apple can attest. They are sitting on billions in cash reserves because they've got a nice markup on their gear. At the time of this recording, they charge about twice what it costs to make an iPhone. So if it costs them $500, they're charging about a grand. This is a concept called keystone pricing, and it's typically done by retailers with wholesale purchases, not by the wholesalers themselves. Of course, Apple is both a retailer and a wholesaler, so they have a little bit of wiggle room on these definitions here. The term keystone pricing dates back to the late 1800s, and it comes from the jewelry trade. Jewelry catalogs used to list the wholesale price, and jewelers would show these catalogs to the client so they could see what the finished product would look like. But that didn't allow much room for profitability for the jeweler, because they'd see that price and know exactly how much the jeweler is paying for the piece. So jewelry manufacturers made a change, and instead of showing wholesale prices in a product catalog, they'd list a retail price, and then the jeweler could just divide it by two to come up with how much they'd get to keep from each sale. And that also gave them room to give a discount off that retail price for a repeat customer if they wanted to. You want to do a special discount. The catalog says it's $1,000, I'm only paying $5. I can sell it to you for $750 and I'd still make some money. But Apple flipped this model. According to my quick and dirty internet search about how much retailers actually make when they sell an iPhone, Apple keeps about 90% of the price of a phone, while retailers only get about 10%. And sometimes they sell them at a loss because they get their money with the phone contract or the extended payment plan. Apple is keeping most of the profit, and some of the retailers aren't making much of anything, especially if they're selling at the educational rate. So Apple makes the phone for $500, charges $1,000 for it, and tells the retailer they can keep $100 for their trouble. And any iPhones Apple sells directly, they keep all the money. Now, I don't know how ethical that is. I mean, your mileage may vary, but it's a different way to price your offers, to be sure. Can you imagine taking the cost of everything that goes into your offer, including your hourly rate, and doubling it? What would that feel like for you? What kind of freedom might that create in your work and life? Regardless of how doable you think it is, or how many people you think might actually take you up on it, just imagine what that might feel like for you. Increasing your prices can bring with it a confidence boost, but it will also get you to a more profitable business much faster. It reduces the amount of time you actually have to spend on client work. Serve 5 clients for $200 each, or serve 10 clients for $100 each. It's usually easier to find 5 clients than 10 for most people. Serving fewer folks means you'll have more time to work on the IPA in your business and in your life. IPA, important personal activities, and income producing activities, the things that must be done and can only be done by you in order to derive the benefit. That, to me, is where we start talking about total profitability, the total return on your resources. Serving fewer folks means you'll have more time to do those things. So maybe you split the difference and serve 7 people for $200 instead of 5. That's still less than 10 people, and it gives you a few hundred extra bucks to hire some support for your business or to hire that housekeeper that you've been wanting for a while. You become an economic contributor in new ways. You're creating a small economy for your team and your support system, and that's pretty cool. And that leads me to the third thing, decreasing your hustle. My mission is to help clients do what they love sustainably, to have more income, more impact, and more freedom to enjoy it. And the key word here is sustainably. I'm not anti-hustle. I'm anti-needless hustle. I think there's a time and a place for appropriate hustle, for compassionate hustle, as I like to call it. There's a time to leave no stone unturned and give it all you've got. But you can't live on that hamster wheel. That's not sustainable. And hustle is relative. What looks like excessive hustle to me might look like laziness to somebody else. They're not my people and I'm not theirs, and that's okay, but we see things differently. Too much hustle leads to burnout and resentment. And I love my creative passions. I do not want to be burned out doing what I love. That sucks the fun and the life out of my creativity. And it's probably the same for you. So before I bring on a new incubator client, I always ask them, how much time can you typically expect to dedicate to working on your business in any given week? I don't hold any judgment around that answer. Everybody has a different capacity for work. My job isn't to judge them for that answer. My job is to help them see what can actually be accomplished inside that container of time. One of my first incubator clients had a full-time job and a few other commitments. And when I asked how many hours they could typically commit to, they said 5. 5 hours a week. Now, that's not a lot compared to many, but we could work with that. And that easy math said that's about an hour a night after work or half a day on a weekend. Well, guess what? That meant there were a whole bunch of things that wouldn't get done, things we simply did not have the capacity to get to. It meant that they had to naturally move more slowly than some of my other clients because of it. So long as they were okay with that, or could at least navigate their feelings around that, then we could work with 5 hours a week. Now, we had to be incredibly judicious. We had to say no to a lot of great ideas and really zero in on the highest value tasks. The things that absolutely had to get done, like client work and marketing. And for a while, 3 hours a week were spent working on client deliverables, an hour a week was coaching with me, and another hour was marketing. Those early days weren't easy because we just couldn't move as fast as other people. It was hard to watch other people speed ahead, and we joked about riding the snail towards the finish line. And that's when I reminded them of the old saying, you know, Confucius says, it doesn't matter how slow you go, so long as you do not stop. Over time, we've managed to free up and change their task load. And now they're doing more client work and still have more free time to do the things that they enjoy beyond their day job. Eventually, they'll be able to transition out of that day job if they want to, but we've also set things in place so that they don't have to leave if they don't want to, and can still generate a nice income from home on a part-time basis. Part of that included raising their rates. But to get there, we had to focus in on the most important, highest value work at the expense of a lot of other things that were just nice to haves for this client. And to be clear, for someone with more capacity, those nice to haves may have become very important must-do activities because they had the capacity to handle them. But this client didn't, so they became nice to haves. This is one of the reasons why we pre-prioritize our goals each year. Because life happens and things get busy. Your capacity can change from one day to the next, one minute to the next. And when that happens, you look at your goals and you say, well, this is my highest priority and this is my most important goal. So if I don't have the capacity to do more, then this is what I'm going to focus on. So are your current business tasks and tactics less sustainable and more of the glorified hustle and grind? Profits are great, but not at the expense of sustainability. What happens if you're making profits now while you're hustling and then need to take a break or need to step away or have a kidney stone that puts you in the hospital for, you know, whatever reason? Can your business continue running? Can it or you afford to take a break? If the answer is no, then the business isn't really sustainable. And I'd question whether it's actually even profitable. You need enough of a financial and energetic cushion in your business to be able to have a sense of enoughness all around. To me, profit is more than just the dollars and cents. It's the total return on resources. Time, energy, money, effort, attention. How are you putting them to work in your business? And what are you getting back to show for it? Generate more quality leads. Raise your rates. And get off the hamster wheel of hustle. These three things are the fastest and surprisingly easiest things that you can do to make your business more profitable and sustainable all the way around and put more money in your pocket at the end of the day. Now, the past three episodes have been really heavy on money and profit conversations. And as a business coach for creative entrepreneurs, I see the mindsets that my clients come in with that can actually be impeding them from being more profitable. Now, we've touched on some of them, but as I promised last week, I'm going to unpack the biggest blocks for each creative type next week. Consider it a mini coaching session with yours truly. So be sure you're subscribed to our show to get notifications about our upcoming episodes, and I sure hope we'll see you there. If you've been digging these episodes, or the free downloadables, by the way, please let your world know by leaving a review and sharing us with your colleagues. We're heard in countries around the world because of people like you who are sharing our episodes and social posts or leaving a review for others to see why Creative Freedom might be a show worth their time. So please keep sharing. I so appreciate you. We are nearing the end of season 6, only 2 episodes left. And until next time, where I'll share more inspiration and education to help you end the hustle, unleash your star power, and own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to.